your Bibles, open with me, please, the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 16. And we're just going to read one verse, and that verse being verse number 15. Mark chapter number 16 and verse 15. And most of you will know this verse by heart. But the Bible said in the book of Mark, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Father, for its power, for its life-changing power, Lord. And we're so grateful that we realize today how great the grace of God is by reading and studying the Word of God. But Father, we also realize the greatness and the marvelousness of the grace of God in the very fact that you saved us and cleansed us from our sin. Lord, we acknowledge this morning we did not deserve it, nor have we ever earned it, but it's all a gift through grace. Thank you, Father, that by the Word of God, you taught us to believe, to have faith. For the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, Lord, honor and glorify your Word here today. I pray you'll speak to me and through me for thy glory. Help me, Father, to say the things that need to be said, that the Holy Spirit of God may use it, Father, to help us to be who you want us to be, that we may honor you and glorify you and love you more and more every day. Thank you again for loving us, and for every good gift, we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach this morning on this thought, get up. Get up. Now, we've been looking over the last 4 or 5 weeks at different ups. We started and we saw that we need to wake up. We need to wake up to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we looked at the necessity to clean up, that we might not be ashamed when Jesus comes again, but also clean up, that we may make an impression and be an influence on those around us in need of Christ, and also the new believers, that they would be strengthened in their walk with God. And then we looked at the third one of growing up, and we saw how that we need to grow up and accept the will and do a will of God and accept the responsibilities that God has given us in this life. And then week before last, we looked at the last one on stand up. And we talked about how we need to learn to stand against the wiles and the evils of the devil. And this morning, I want us to look at this topic of get up. And I said also get up and get out. I remember as a child be sitting in the house and say, "I'm so bored." And my mom would say, "Get up and get out. Get busy." Now our children today, not many of them know about getting out. They don't know a whole lot about getting up. They stay in the bed till some wee or late hours in the morning, but then they get on the videos or they get on the games or the computer, and they don't have to get up. But if you and I are going to be active for God and we're going to count for God, you and I must get up and get out. We've got to get up from the place of where we're sitting all the time. But I want us to see the urgent need and the direction that God gives us concerning this in the Word of God. Because I think about it and I think, what if somebody had not gotten up and come and knocked on my door, where would I be at today? And I honestly believe this with all my heart. Had somebody not come and knocked on my door and invited me to the house of God, I would be in hell today. But God shows us in His Word the importance that we as believers to get up. Now He said here in verse 16, He said, go ye into all the world. Get up. You got to get up before you can go. But we see the commandment of God here. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every individual in this world, no matter the color of their skin, no matter the nation they were born in, no matter the language they speak, every creature has a need, and that need is to be saved by the grace of God. There's not a nationality nor a country that doesn't need the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They can be a rich country. They can be a poor country. They can be an intermediate country. But every individual needs to hear the gospel. And He said, go into all the world. You say, we can't do that. It's just impossible. But God has made a way by through the church. We can help missions as we do and as I want to grow in and helping others to carry the gospel to the places that you and I cannot go to. But because we support missions does not eliminate us from our responsibility of our area. He said, go into all the world and preach. And you say, but we're not preachers. That word preach there means tell or share. We can share about our families. We can share about our job. We can share about our favorite sport, our favorite team. But seemingly when it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, we say we're too timid. We're too backward. No, we're not. We're lazy. That's the real problem. And some say, well, I'm afraid. And that could be a problem. You say, I don't know how to do it. That's why in a few weeks, we're going to start our series and our study on witnessing, sharing the gospel with those around us. I want to prepare you so that you will have the tools that you need to get up and to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, He said, awake to righteousness. His commandment was, wake up to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Paul was not writing to the world. Paul wasn't writing to unbelievers. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. And if Paul was here today, he would say to our church, to the Gospelite Baptist Church, he would say, awake to righteousness and sin not. Come out from among them that your light might shine forth, and awake to righteousness. Sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Whether you want to believe it or not, there's people in Blue Ridge, there's people in McKaysville, there's people throughout Fannin County that are lost without God. Not every individual in our county saved and on their way to heaven. I'd probably be safe in saying there's more not ready than there is ready. There's more not saved than are saved. But He said, awake. He said, come to the realization that people are dying without God. And it's not the fault of the world. Church, I'm saying to you as believers, Paul said, I speak this to your shame. We are to be embarrassed if we're not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. You say, well, I can't talk to them. We've got a rack back there that's got tracks in them. I got one by pocket that says 1 minute from hell. It's a testimony, a true story of an Air Force person in the Air Force and how life ended so quickly for him. You and I don't have a promise of tomorrow. But you know what? Nobody else in the world has a promise of tomorrow. Nobody sitting here nor anybody sitting anywhere else knows when they're going to die. But it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this a judgment. So we need to be busy. And then in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, he said there to the maniac there, Gadara, the maniac got saved. He said, I want to go with you. Notice what Jesus said to him. He said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. He said, go and tell them how great things the Lord hath done. And this is what most people think. Oh, God put clothes on him. God broke the fetters. He's no longer possessed by the demons. His name is no longer Legion. Those are all great. But what God wanted him to share with those, and I believe he went back to his home and told them how great compassion God had on him. And that was a compassion of saving his soul from sin and from hell. The greatest thing that God has ever done for me or done for you is saving our soul, making us a child of God and a child of the King, and preserving a place in heaven for me and you for eternity. That is the greatest compassion that God has ever shown anybody. Now, God has been good to me. God has blessed me. But I'm telling you, God has never done anything for me better than saving my soul. And he said, go and tell your friends. How many of your friends know you're saved? Oh, I'm sure they know. How do you know they know? Well, they watch me. That's not the answer I wanted. Here's the answer. I know that they know that I'm saved because I've told them. Well, I don't want everybody to know it. If you're really saved, you do. If you're really saved by the grace of God, you want them to know it because you want them to also have that personal relationship with God. And so Jesus said there to that man, he said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. God has been truly good to me. God didn't do anything else. God didn't give me another blessing the rest of my life. I would have to say today that God has been good to me. God has shown his compassion to me. And I want to share with the world that I'm not going to hell, not because of my righteousness, but because of the righteousness and the grace and the compassion of God. His commandment is go tell your friends. He also said, go into the highways and hedges and compel them. And that word compel means beg them. We ought to be more earnest about inviting people to church than we are inviting them to anything else. We should want them to be here more than anywhere else. They need to be in church. that they might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost of God can convict them of sin, show them their need of a Savior, show them the love and the grace of God, and that they could come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Go. Get up. Get out. If you're sitting at home waiting for them to come to you, you're losing. They're not going to come to your house asking you to tell them. And then, not only we see the commandment of getting up, we see here the resources and responsibility. I said earlier, some people say, well, I just can't talk to people. But you can talk to them about everything else. Let me share what we did on our way to Oklahoma. We had to go through the toll gates. They had a big turnpike out there. We had to stop at 4 different toll gates. Sidney Michaela said, you can go through the current or the exact change and you don't have to stop. I said, I don't want to do that. I said, number one, I want a receipt, but you know what I really wanted? I wanted to use the opportunity to get the gospel to those. I probably would never see those people working those toll gates again. So what I did, I gave them the money I owed them, asked them for a receipt, and I said, I have something I want you to read. Out of the 4 gates, 8 gates total, going and coming, not one person refused to take this, and not one person did not say. Every one of them said, thank you. Thank you. Their people today, they might have been saved. I didn't have time to hold up all the traffic and share with them the gospel. So what I did, I simply said, will you please read this? And I gave it to them. What's it going to do, preacher? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if you read that, you know what you're going to do? You're going to hear what you're reading. And it's a gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that the gospel of Christ bringeth forth conviction and shows people their need of a Savior. And he said there, you need to go. The resource, we've got tracks. We're going to order some more. Somebody's asked me to reorder the one, the GPS, God's plan of salvation. There are a lot of people, that'll ring a bell with them, because I guarantee you at least 50% of the people sitting right here today own a GPS. You get on a trip, what do? You get that GPS out, you put all information in it. Well, you know what? Every one of us owns a copy of the GPS of God, God's plan of salvation. And we need to be getting it out to people and directing them how to get to heaven. But you say, I can't do it. You got a track, but notice it. Here's where your real strength comes from. This is what will relieve you of your fear and your doubt. The Bible said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we see the resource that God gives us to be able to witness, but we also see our responsibility. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He was talking there to the disciples. He had sent them in an upper room to pray. And so he said that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The day we got saved, the Holy Ghost of God moved in and dwells in us. The power that we need is when we come to a place in our life to die to self and say, God, it's not me that's important, it's you. We let him take over our life. People say, how did you take your family to the mission field where there wasn't all the luxuries of life? I took them because that was a leadership of the Holy Ghost of God, and I'd say, God, I want to be your servant. But he said, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you need to say, God, take over my life. Empty me of myself and fill me with you. And so the Holy Ghost begins to control your life. And it said, when that happens, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now let me tell you about witnessing. It's more than talking. It's more than passing out a tract. Witnessing is not only your talking, it's your walking. It's your walking. How you walking? You're all over the place. People say, are they really saved? Do they really know God? They say they do, but watch their walk. They're over here, and then they're over here. And then on Sunday, they're here. It's your walk that's going to do more talking than your talk does. It's easy to talk, tougher to walk. But there, he said, you shall be witnesses. What is our witness to those around us today? If you were put on trial today, and I'm not going to do this because I don't want to embarrass anybody. Thought about putting a chair here and bringing somebody up here and putting them on trial. And you were put on trial, and your friends and your workmates were your jury. The jury of your, they're going to say guilty or not guilty. And the evidence is presented of the way you walk and talk every day. The life that you present out here to the world, all of that evidence is given. And the judge says, okay, jury, it's time now for you to deliberate. Come back with a verdict. Either guilty or not guilty. None of this in-between stuff. None of this locked jury. You got to say guilty or not guilty. What would be the verdict returned on you? Would they say, not guilty? Not guilty of being a Christian. Not guilty of living and walking the way that I see the Word of God tells them to walk. But he said, you shall be witnesses. You're a witness, whether you want it or not. You're a witness to your friends and your family. You're either saying to them, the work of God, Christianity, is real or it's not real. It's important or it's not important. It's not just an escape from hell, but it's a life to honor and glorify God. A lot of people think being saved is just missing hell, but it's not. He said, after the power of the Holy Ghost. See, God not expecting us to do it. You try to witness on your own power, you're going to strike out. You got to go in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Not about us. It's all about Him. You say, but I don't have anywhere to witness. Hold on. He said, you can be a witness unto me both in Jerusalem. That's home. Your neighborhood, I guarantee you could spend the next 6-8 months just in your neighborhood sharing the gospel. Well, I don't want to do it in my neighborhood. Why? Because people know me. If they know you for who you say you are, you shouldn't be ashamed. But he said, in Jerusalem, in Judea. Now you branched out a little bit out of your home and out into the further neighborhood. And in Samaria. Now you're out in the county. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. See, I live in Blue Ridge. This is my Jerusalem. But I went to Oklahoma. So what I should have done, I should have closed up my Bible and left it at home and said, you know what? I'm out of my Jerusalem now. I'm not responsible for these. That's what a lot of people do. They go on vacation, leave God at home. They forget everything about God. They forget about the responsibility to live right. They go on vacation. They say, I am relieved of my Christian responsibility. Wrong. Because he said, under the uttermost part of the earth. Why did I feel the urgency to pass tracts in Oklahoma? People in Oklahoma are going to hell. There are lost people out there. People need to hear the gospel. And so, you, no matter where you're at, take you some tracts. You go out to eat today, I challenge you to do this. I challenge you to get you some gospel tracts, and when you leave your tip, and hopefully you do leave something for their service, stick it inside the tract and lay the tract on the table. I guarantee you they're not going to take that tract and shake the money out of it. They'll be too embarrassed to do that. They'll stick it in their pocket or their apron, and God may remind them when they get off from work, you need to read that. And they read it, and they read about the love of God. And they see their need of a Savior. Then not only did he say that to us, you got the resource of the Holy Ghost. He said in Hebrews 13, 5, 6, he said, not only do you have the Holy Ghost, you got me. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I have never had anybody curse me because I witnessed to them. I did have one guy say to me one time, he was my boss, and I shared with him the gospel, and I said to him, you need to get right with God. You need to get saved. I want you to come to the churches when I was pastoring somewhere else. And this is what he said to me. He said, listen, don't ever mention that to me again. And I said, okay. Well, what did you do? I took him to God. God's a lot bigger than me. God's a lot stronger than me. God can do a lot more than I can do. And I prayed for him. And I eventually left that job, and he wasn't my boss any longer. Well, you know how things turn around, go around? Well, eventually, I became his boss. Did you get mad at him and tell him, now you're the boss and you can tell him what you want to do? No. I kept living. I mean, even though I went to a different position, I would see him. He went to a different job, and I would see him. We still talk. I still live the same life. And when I was getting ready to leave that job, I took him home that day. We'd been working together and was driving home. And I said to him, I called him by name and I said, I know you told me not to ever mention this to you again, but this may be the last time I ever see you. And you can't fire me because I done quit. But I said, I've got to ask you a question. Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? I didn't ask if he's right because I knew he wasn't right. And he said, Freddie, he said, when I was a young teenager, my grandmother and granddaddy took me to church. I heard the gospel and I got saved by the grace of God. He said, I've not lived it. I've been horrible, but he said, I want you to know this. I've given it a lot of thought because of being around you and watching your life. I'm not bragging on me. I'm telling you, God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, I shall give you power that you can be witnesses unto me. You don't just have to witness talking. You got to live it. And he said, you've made an impression on my life. I had another boss live like the devil. I talked to him. He said he'd been saved by the grace of God. And about a year and a half ago, he went out into eternity. I had not seen him for at least 4 or 5 years. I had not even seen him. That guy's telling you about that was my boss that I witnessed to that last day. He called me on the phone and he said, Freddie, Jimmy's wife is trying to get in touch with you because Jimmy told her, 10, 12 years ago that he wanted you to preach his funeral because of your lifestyle. It's not about me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you can count, but you got to get up. You can't sit at home from the devil vision. You can't sit there on the computer all the time. You got to get up and get out and share the gospel. But Jesus said, I'll go with you. Brother Gene Blackburn gave a testimony here at the church. He was a missionary to the prison. And he said he moved out to Wyoming, Utah. Where was it? Was it out in that area, Washington? And he went out there and started a church. And these two boys got saved. And they said to Brother Gene, said, we want you to go see our daddy. So Brother Gene told some men in church, I'm going to go see so-and-so. They said, preacher, do you know who you're going to go see? And they said, no. Said, he's the meanest man in this town. Brother Gene can tell this better than I can tell it. He said, I drove out there with my hands shaking. And I said, God, take care of me. Said he drove out there, got out of his car, walked up. The man was working there on his farm. And Brother Gene said, I'm the pastor, and I've been asked to come see you. He said, did I ask you to come? And he said, no, sir. He said, come on into my house. Brother Gene said he went in there. They sat down at the table, and the man said, you want some coffee? And Brother Gene said, he's afraid to say no. So he had some coffee, and he said, and the man laid a pistol on the table. Brother Gene said he looked for the door. And he talked to him, and he said, I need to go. And the guy said, laid his hand on the pistol and said, you're not going till I tell you to go. Make a long story short, Brother Gene left, the man was still lost. The man came to his church some weeks later and heard the gospel and came to Jesus Christ and was saved by the marvelous grace of God. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And he said, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. That doesn't mean physically you're not scared to death. But it means that, hey, I got God on my side and there's nobody bigger than God. Nobody stronger than God. And God's not expecting me to do this. I'm just an instrument. God is my helper. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You're walking with God, throw away your crutch that you can't do it. Because Paul just said you can. So there's our resource and our responsibility. But you say, I just don't get why you get so carried away with this. Let me tell you the reason that I feel it's important to get up and get out. John 4:35, Jesus talking to his disciples. He's talked to the woman at the well. She's got saved. She went and got all of her men friends, brought them back, said, come see a man that told me all things. The disciples got there and they were amazed that he was talking to a Samaritan woman. And they asked him about eat because they'd gone into town to get something to eat. He said, my meat's not of this. You know not what my meat, but he said, I've come to do the will of my Father. Then he said to him, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Notice what he said to them. There are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. He let them look out on the fields. He knew when the corn and the other things would be ready for harvest. He said, 4 months are ready. Well, I can't guarantee you we got 4 months. We might have 1 week. We might have 1 day. And that person that you know is lost and dying and going to hell, they may die. There ain't nothing you can do for them then. But the Lord could come today, tomorrow, 4 months, 4 years, I don't know. But he said, then cometh harvest. And when he comes, it's over. He said, lift up your eyes. Get your head out of the sand. Get your head out of everything else you're doing and look out here. He said, lift up your head and look upon the field. They are white already to harvest. There are people out there right now waiting for you and me to come share the gospel with them. Oh, they ain't nobody. Oh, I guarantee you they are. Brother Richard Peacock, one of our missionaries, went into a prison and preached this last month. And he really stressed to the ones that were believers, said, I want you to bring somebody with you to the next service. 65 first-time people came to the service. 65 prisoners that had never been to a service came because they were invited. One man brought 24 people out of his cell block. And we're not bringing in nobody. I mean, let's think about it. Brenda and I talking this morning. How many people has come or is coming because we invited them? Because she invited them. I'm going to say something here, and this isn't embarrass anybody, but you want to know who has probably brought more people into this church than anybody? Right here he is. When he had the bookstore, he took tracts, he took invitation cards, he invited people, he's still doing it. You say you shouldn't embarrass people like that. That's not embarrassing to him. I hope not. But I'm asking you today, how many people is either coming or has come because you visited them? I'll tell you this. Brother Doug and Sister Sandra came on their own just to visit. And I asked them, can I come see you? And they said, yeah. Yes. And I told them when I was coming. I didn't come early. I didn't even come in the middle of the day. I went in the afternoon. And Brother Doug told me later, he told Miss Sandra this. He said, if that preacher doesn't come and visit us today, we're never going back to that church again because he's a liar. How important is your visit? How important is your invite? I didn't know he said that. But I tell you what, you're talking about one embarrassed preacher? You're looking at him. If I had failed to keep my word and go see him, and he would have told people, don't go to that church, that preacher lies. They were saved. I didn't go to win them. I just got them to come be part of our church. They went out. They came out of a large church. And they said to, Miss Sandra said to the preacher, said, it's a little church. And Brother Moore said, oh, I know the preacher. You need to go. Little churches need help. Are we satisfied being little? I'm not. But you know what? It's not about numbers. It's about people. It's not that we can say, oh, man, look, I had 15 people come today because I invited them. It's not what it's about. What it's about is them hearing the gospel, getting saved. You may rejoice inside and say, woo! I had part with that. You might go off in the closet somewhere. You might be one that's real quiet. You might go off in the closet and say, Lord, I sure appreciate you let me invite them. Lord, I know you did the work and I praise you for it. Because when you get there, it's going to be remembered. He said, look into the fields. Look around. How many people you know today is lost without God? How many people you know today is out of the will of God and out of church? It's not just about getting saved people in. I mean, getting lost people in. It's about getting people that are saved in to grow. But he said, look in the fields. Now notice what he said in Matthew 13, 38. He said, the field is the world. Now let's go back to our key verse. Go ye into all the world. Look unto the field that are already white to harvest. There's a debt that every man and woman owes. That is the debt for their sin. The Bible said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned. I don't care how much you like your family members. I don't care how much money they got. I don't care how much you're hoping to get out of their inheritance. They're lost. They've sinned. And they need a Savior. Said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's the debt. Now here's the payment. The wages of sin is debt, but here's the payment. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Tell me if you go up to somebody being led by the Spirit of God and you say to them, Jesus loves you, that's going to get mad at you. They may say, why would he love me? Man, is that an open door. And please don't say, I don't know. But then you share with them that God loves us. We're His. He made us. He wants to fellowship with us. He doesn't want us to go to hell, but it said go. And so we carry the gospel, the gift of God, is eternal life, and tell them, hey, you're going to live forever. You've got a choice to make. You're going to live forever in heaven. You're going to live forever in hell. The choice is yours. But I want to show you how to get to heaven. Now here's our debt. Paul said, I'm a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians. Hey, he covered everybody. Nobody left out. I'm a debtor to the world, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. And I know Paul is a preacher, but you can quote that verse and say, I'm a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, to the wise and to the unwise. And there's Paul said, so as much in me is, I am ready. There's the question, are you ready to share the gospel? Paul said in the next verse, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Nothing will bring people to a Savior but the gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection. As I said, we're going to look into that in a couple weeks. Brother Robert, come piano. Brother George, you come the guitar. And Brother Tommy, come the organ if you want to. You three come. I want you to play page number 145. They get ready. Let me say to you. Let me say to Gary as he's leaving. I know he can leave early. Happy birthday. Yesterday was his birthday. So we'll sing to him the next time. But here, listen to me. Give me your attention. People are dying every moment. People are dying every moment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this a judgment. I got a call on Thursday about a lady that is a member of this church, hadn't been here in a while because of health, passed away Thursday. Her husband told me everything was fine. She got feeling a little tired, laid down, went to sleep, never woke up. People are dying every moment. There are no... I don't even have a thought in my mind that I could imagine how many people died since our service started. People are dying every moment of every day. How many of us are willing today to say to God, God, I'm ready to get up and get out. I'm ready to share the gospel. The people that are dying are family members. Every one of us have family members that are lost. Have we ever shared the gospel with them? Have we ever invited them to come and hear the gospel? family members, friends. They think you're their friend, but if you're saved and not sharing the gospel with them, you're not their friend. Strangers. Brother Richard said he and Sister Jana come out from Chick-fil-A. They were on the way to one of the prisons. And a lady from Canada came up. They didn't know her. Brother Richard gave her a tract, shared the gospel with her. Miss Jana talked to her and she got saved. Strangers. You don't have to know somebody to share the gospel with them. And our neighbors. How many of your neighbors really know, outside of seeing you get up on Sunday morning and supposing you go to church, know you're saved? People are dying every moment. How many of us are willing to say to God today, Lord, make me ready. Help me to get ready to get up. Help me get ready to get up and get out with the gospel. Don't let a day go by that I don't share the gospel with somebody. D.L. Moody's prayer was this. D.L. Moody would never lay his head on a pillow till he witnessed to somebody that day. If it went into the night, they said he would get out of his room and go back on the street and find somebody to witness to. Man, what it'd be if we could get ready. I want us to stand. Won't you take your songbooks? Turn with me to page number 145.